Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Working the Marks with New Jersey's premier journalist, with Professor Fernando Uribe, and New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, the PBR superstar Patrick Rivera.
Coming to you from the Block Talk Radio Studios in the wrestling capital of New Jersey. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is always in Hudson County, in Union City, and Weehawken, respectively. It's the latest edition that we bring you here of Working the Marks, and I am New Jersey's premier and now seven-time award-winning journalist, Fernando Uribe, and he is the PBR superstar, New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, Patrick Rivera. What's going on, brother?
Actually, it's just Rivera now. I'm going just by my last name. I actually cut out the rest of my name and just I'm going by my last name now. So it's just Rivera. All right. So for this show, I'd like to be referred to as Rivera. I identify as Rivera for this episode, and that's it. I don't need a first name. I'm going back to the glory days of wrestling. All right, when guys just had last names. Right.
Okay.
So okay. A quick story here. I think you're going to appreciate this, and I think the listeners are going to appreciate this. So for whatever reason, anywhere I go in any walk of life, anytime I see the name Hogan, you know I can't just say it regularly. I can't say Hogan, right? I got to say Hogan! So anytime I see that name, I got to say it at some point. And I actually said it recently in front of somebody whose last name was Hogan, the person I was referring to. But I kind of did it as a reactionary kind of thing. And immediately she looked at me and she said, "Ric Flair." And I was just like, wow. She's like, "I've gotten that my whole life." And I was just like, holy shit. And it was kind of like this nice little full circle mark moment for me there. It was pretty neat. But anyways, I see that went over well. Anyway, I'm doing fantastic. Great to be with you here on Saturday. And really excited about the Hudson River Derby. New York City FC, baby, two-time defending champions of the Campeones Cup and the MLS Cup. We're taking on those bums from New Jersey, the Red Bulls, all right? And I can't wait to fucking whoop that ass today. But more importantly, I'm here with you. I'm working the marks. I'm excited to talk about wrestling. I'm excited about getting into a lot of different topics, if you will, with you here today, Professor. So
absolutely. And for everybody at home, again, don't forget, you can always write to the show's inbox, workinthemarks@gmail.com. Once again, workinthemarks@gmail.com. Leave us your name, where you're from, anything you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, everything in between, folks, always write to us, workinthemarks@gmail.com. Certainly, you can follow the show on Instagram @working_the_marks. And, of course, check out our own personal Instagrams as well. For the PBR superstar, you can always find him on Twitter at PatrickSKVM. You can also check out my own Twitter as well when I'm not being shadow banned or censored by Jack Dorsey at the Fernando Zone. And also, of course, folks, back on Instagram, you can check out Patty Rican at PaddyRican. And also, again, when I'm not being shadow banned or censored in some way by Instagram, at the Fernando Zone, also check out Working the Marks on Facebook as well. I'll tell you, Rivera, you know, hell of a week here. A lot of stuff, a lot of interesting tidbits here. We'll get to the ratings in a little bit. I always like to sort of break those numbers down. But the things that stood out for me this week, really, in the news cycle was Eric Bischoff. Obviously, for everyone who knows, the former WCW executive vice president, certainly a great podcast host in his own right with 83 Weeks. He still does really, really well with Conrad Thompson. And, you know, it was interesting because, you know, he went on a couple of shows, not just talking about it on his show, but he went on with Just Show Inferno and Conan and K1, Keeping It 100. And, you know, it was a really interesting perspective because let's be honest, man, you know, Bischoff ran WCW at a time, and especially when it took off against then WWF, when there were a lot of personalities in that locker room. Obviously, it's just signed Hogan in 1994. We all know the stories. We all know the type of creative control that Hogan demanded, his presence in the locker room. And obviously, once Hall and Nash came over and the NWO storyline took off, I mean, you know, let's be honest, you know, it may not have always taken off well with everybody, right? You know, maybe some turmoil in the back. So if anyone knows about turmoil in a locker room and how to handle it, or maybe not, or handle it to the best of his ability, it would be Eric Bischoff. And, he shared some thoughts this week about how the drama that's really been unfolding for weeks now since All Out in Chicago and AEW could come back to haunt the company. You know, people like CM Punk and Ace Steel, the executive vice president, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks were involved, you know, allegedly in a melee backstage. We don't know how serious it was. There's no, it is stories. There's no pictures. There's no one snuck a camera into the back. We don't know if Matt Jackson's eyes really shut. We don't know if Kenny Omega's ear was bitten off. We don't know what the hell happened, but it was one of those things where he talked about, you know, whether or not AEW should start hitting the panic button given the turmoil that's going on. And he didn't really know how to answer that, but all he said is, from past experience, is that, you know, he's created and produced, you know, no fewer than 15 shows for 8 or 10 different cable outlets. So he kind of knows hands-on what the developmental process is with a network. He's kind of concerned that, like, this could come back to hurt them with TNT and TBS, since they have to be re-upping for their contract soon. This could be a real, real ominous sign for AEW, bro. Pat, are you still with us here? Okay, we might be having some technical difficulties here with Pat.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
We're back.
Still there.
Yes, it's Rivera. All right, man, please refer to me by my name for the show.
Okay.
So, first off, Bischoff is right. Like, and everything Bischoff's talking about makes 100% sense, okay? But I think it's more than just that. I think it's the inconsistent ratings. I think it's the promise of something and delivering nothing. And I think that weighs a lot more than anything that's gone on with them in the press scrum and all that other stuff. Because that stuff that they, if they have to, they could just go and they could just talk to the executives and just be like, hey, man, it's all gimmick. All this shit's a work. They're not going to know the difference, whether it is or it isn't. They're not going to know the difference. More importantly, bro, there's no police reports. There's an internal investigation. Come on, man. Like, all these terms that they use to describe this process and all this shit that's going on, it's very fucking vague. You know what I'm saying? It leaves a lot to interpretation there. You know what I'm saying? So I think that this is the least of their problems, and their big problem is the inconsistent ratings and not delivering anything.
It really is a problem. And again, someone like Bischoff, who has considerable experience, producing television, producing for many, many weeks, right? For almost more than a full calendar year and a half, programming and television that was beating WWF, right? For better, for worse, right? For whatever we want to think about WCW at the time, he knows what it's about. So it's interesting about Bischoff's comments, and Bischoff's never been shy, because let's be fair, like, it's not like he's not asking Tony Khan for a job. He's participated on Dynamite, having, you know, ran Nitro for so many years, and I get it, he's made those sporadic appearances, but we've talked about it, man. It seems like Tony Khan does not want to surround himself with good wrestling people or good television people, and that's included Eric Bischoff, Jim Cornette, right? We've all come to learn that he's met with these people. But, hey, listen, there seems to be a reason why Bischoff maybe doesn't want to work full-time for Tony Khan. He's already done that. You know, he's been there, done that. He worked for Vince McMahon, different capacity, obviously, not creatively, not running television. He was just sort of an on-screen character. I think Eric, again, if I had to take a guess, bro, Eric is just, I think, at a point in his life where he's made his money. He's comfortable doing his podcast. He's comfortable making an appearance every so often when he's needed at WWE programming. They'll fly him in for whatever. And I think he's good where he's at. So, Tony Khan would benefit greatly from throwing money at people like Bischoff, like Cornette, like other insiders in the business that have a better wrestling mind than he does. But I don't know. Tough times are ahead for AEW for sure.
Yeah, I don't really think that Tony dying on this hill is going to be the best thing for him and the company moving forward. I think this is the worst thing that he could do. I mean, And I'll say one thing about Tony Khan. At least he's consistent. He's been consistent in the fact that he refuses to do something and anything that will help his company improve, will help bring his company to a bigger audience, will help get his company in a better situation with the ratings. And, you know, just he refuses to do it consistently. And I give him that, but at least he's consistent on flubbing up his company, you know. I think the fix is in for them, but we'll just have to see how everything plays out.
No, certainly. Other big news this week, for anyone who has not had a chance to watch the Logan Paul Roman Reigns podcast, obviously Logan Paul's show does incredibly well on YouTube. I have to say it's a pretty diverse type of show. Not just sports oriented. I think that Logan Paul is someone that can talk with a guest about anything and make the guest feel comfortable. I mean, listen, I like Logan Paul. I mean, personally, you know, as a conservative, I like Logan Paul and where he stands ideologically, but he's not one of those guys that makes that podcast all about that. And I think that's what, especially in a guy in his position where he's an influencer, not just talking about sports, maybe some politics, but very, very scarcely. You know, I think it's a really informative show. And certainly having Roman Reigns on this week, I think was interesting, Pat, only because, to be fair, you know, all we've gotten to know or see at least for many months, if not years now, is just really the on-screen persona of Joe Inouye. And, you know, to see him just in a comfortable environment talking with Logan Paul, I think was refreshing. I think that's the side that as wrestling fans, and I get it that there are some purists that are all about kayfabe and preserving kayfabe, but I got to tell you, man, it's like it's these type of presentations, like Stone Cold's Broken Skull Sessions, even before he did it with WWE, like when he did it on his own, even Talk is Jericho, like these type of shows I think are refreshing for wrestling fans because they give, you know, fans get a better perspective, but a little different, you know, perspective when it comes to pro wrestlers and what they're thinking, how they're feeling. And I think it's just refreshing to watch a show like this. But what were your thoughts about Reigns' appearance if you had a chance to watch it this week?
First off, I want you to say this with me, okay? Anouye.
Anouye. All right, excuse me.
Anouye. It's like Spanish, bro. Anouye.
Anouye. Okay, excuse me. Okay.
There we go. Okay, it's not Joe Inouye. It's Anouye. Okay, so I wanted to get that out of the way first because there's a great lineage with that name, and I don't think we should botch that. You know, this isn't a Lionheart match in 2022. Oh! But, you know, what I'm saying is that I like Logan Paul. I like what he brings to wrestling. I like the way he does being a conservative and all that stuff. He's not overbearing. He's not putting himself over constantly. He's not talking about when his shows are on. He's not mentioning any awards or anything that he's won like some people that might do that. But, you know, he talks about it briefly, but more importantly, he makes it known that he's anti-racist, which I think is really, really smart on his part. Joe Rogan's got that whole conspiracy corner nailed. He's got all that stuff going on there. He's good for that. He's a great interviewer, too, as well. But, you know, Logan Paul doesn't need to do that, and that's why his podcast is doing really, really well, and his show, excuse me, is doing really, really well. This show is just awesome because You really got to get a little bit on the a little insight on the mind of Roman Reigns and how he looks at wrestling, how he understands wrestling, how he knows what to do. You know, there's just so many pearls of wisdom that he just gave out for free in that show. And any young wrestler that listens to this show, anybody that's aspiring to get into the business, anybody that just likes wrestling at all, even if you're a filthy mark, listen to this episode because it's really, really cool, and you really get a great understanding not only for, you know, Roman Reigns, the performer, and, you know, what he likes, but the business in general and how to work and how to all the aspects basically of being a professional wrestler / sports entertainer. And it's really, really awesome. But, yeah, I dug it. I've been a fan of, you know, the interviews that he's had thus far. I liked the Triple H interview. I thought that one was super compelling and really just educational. And yeah, I just really look forward to what they're going to do. From what I've been hearing, the rumor is that at one of the Blood Money shows, they're going to have Logan Paul against Roman. So that should be pretty interesting. That should be pretty darn interesting. And I think the ceiling is really high for Logan Paul.
Listen, I'm totally with you. And certainly last night on SmackDown, we started seeing the seeds being planted. Logan Paul starting the show, kind of a little bit of a promo, of course, being interrupted by the Bloodline. It just seems like the Bloodline's growing like the NWO, Rivera. It's crazy.
Well, at least it's not bloated. At least it's not bloated. I mean, everybody serves a part in this, you know?
Sure.
All the Samoans, they all make sense. You know, the honorary use, Sami Zayn, who to me is, right now, he's the star of the show. I mean, Roman, everybody knows Roman's the man, but he's the star of that show right now. I mean, last night on SmackDown, the pop that he got, the Sami chant broke out. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. The guy's a phenomenal wrestler. He was in Ring of Honor. He was an amazing wrestler in Ring of Honor, all over the Indies, all over the world, then going to WWE, NXT. Everybody knows that this guy can go in the ring. There's no doubt about that. But he was missing something for so long. And like I say over and over again on this darn show, character. Character is what's going to get people over. Character is what's going to make people big. And Sammy's just chock full of character right now. And it's really working for him. And it's adding an interesting dynamic to the Bloodline storyline. And I'm all in for it right now.
No, listen, it's been compelling television without a doubt. And, you know, it was interesting to see Logan Paul start off the show, obviously. He invited Roman Reigns to a press conference next week. I'm sure that'll probably start, you know, the genesis of that storyline for Crown Jewel in early November. It's been reported already that Roman Reigns will not be at Extreme Rules coming up on October, I believe, the 9th, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, that's October the 9th in Philadelphia. It'll be a good show. And we'll get to that in a couple minutes. I really want to pick your brain about this, Pat. Excuse me, Rivera. But certainly it's moving towards Crown Jewel. We'll see also if Roman Reigns will be at Survivor Series later in the month in Boston. But first things first, I mean, they're not going to have a problem selling out this show anyway because it's WWE. It's always sold out when they've gone to Saudi Arabia. But I have to say, though, this is going to get an enormous amount of eyes on this show for the simple fact that, again, because of just what Logan Paul represents. And if you're not, again, for those of us that subscribe to Peacock, all right, you know, we're going to watch it, right? We're going to watch it on Peacock. I mean, obviously, you know, we'll have to endure the, you know, the 79 ads, whatever, during a live show or a replay.
If you're teaching
it. You know, well, again, you know, I give enough money to Titan Sports, okay? I don't think I need to give any more. So that's sort of my portfolio. Also, I'm sticking with it. But aside from just subscribing to Peacock, Rivera, think about just the fact for people that do not subscribe and just simply buy the pay-per-view, right? Either they order it online via their cable system or their streaming service, right? Sling, AT&T, DirecTV, whatever. That's still more money because you're looking at maybe probably like $39.95 or $49.95 for people that, again, don't subscribe to Peacock. And they might be like, well, all right, I just want to order it because I just want to see the show. Again, man, another great business decision by Nicholas Khan, the most powerful Khan in pro wrestling, along with Stephanie Levesque and Paul Levesque. I just think it's business and moneymaker all around, bro.
Yeah, dude. I mean, come on. Everybody knows it, whether we like it or not. That's just the deal, you know. But, I mean, they're expanding the brand. They're getting it. And this is the thing that they're doing now, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. It's like they're going to places where, like, people aren't really going to, like, get shit out there. You know what I'm saying? Tony Khan's not going to Saudi Arabia. Tony Khan's not doing any of that shit. He wouldn't dare. He wouldn't dare. You know what I mean? Imagine Tony Khan going out there with some butterfly jeans and, you know, trying to win over that audience. That's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? But they're at least trying to get the product out. It makes sense. They're going in every hole in the wall to try and get it out to more people. Got to give them credit, man, whether you like it or not, you know?
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. And, yeah, well, I mean, listen, I mean, it's not Monday night at 6:05, but the reason, you know, obviously Tony Khan doesn't go to those parts of the world with rainbow jeans, well, I mean, you know how I feel about that area of the world. So there's a reason you can't do that because of, well, you know, a little word starts with the letter I, you know, and Colin and stuff like that. But that's for Monday nights. But yeah, this show is going to really, really get a lot of new eyes because of Logan Paul, because of, listen, this is going to be on SportsCenter. It's going to be on mainstream pop culture news. It's certainly going to, without question, I think, be a success. Like, let's be honest, all the crown jewels sell out. They sell merch. It's madness, you know? It really, really is. But in some interesting news, though, Rivera, NBC report came out this week suggesting that NBC Universal and Warner Brothers Discovery could indeed merge. Now, for those of you listening at home, you're probably wondering, okay, Fernando, Rivera, what is the point of this? Why are we talking about this on a pro wrestling podcast? Well, I'll tell you why. Warner Brothers Discovery, again, which came into being last April through a merger with Warner Media and Discovery, might be facing another merger in the near future through a union that they're apparently materializing with Comcast Corporation's NBC Universal. But apparently, the Hollywood Reporter this week cites unnamed entertainment industry executives and speculating that Comcast CEO Brian Roberts will seek a merger with Warner Brothers Discovery. The same sources claim that David Zaslav, president and CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, is also eager to merge with another media company. Industry insiders mentioned that because of this, this could also really help branch out, especially because of Peacock. This could have an impact on what happens with Peacock. Now, again, more so, if the Comcast Warner Brothers Discovery mergers do indeed go through, it's going to have huge ramifications, Rivera, on the wrestling industry, such as NBC Universal and Warner Brothers. You know, Discovery has strong relationships with both WWE and AEW. It's ultimately going to raise a question as to which wrestling organization would stay in partnership with the combined entity. Earlier this year, WWE's co-CEO Nicholas Khan was really, really going around the circuit saying how WWE has expanded their audience and viewership because of the Peacock partnership, adding that WWE feels that they've outperformed that Peacock when it comes to advertising and subscriptions. Meanwhile, AEW and insiders are saying that they apparently are also touting their strong relationship with Warner Brothers Discovery. I think at the end of the day, man, what this means, again, in simple English for everybody at home, it's going to force the companies to see where their allegiances are going to go. What is going to be a more profitable partnership should this merger with Warner Brothers Discovery and Comcast go through with NBC Universal? It might kind of put the companies in a position where, we might have to like kind of take a side here in who we're going to do business with. And I'll be honest with you, man, if I'm putting my chips on the table, you know, I love blackjack and I'll double down on chips and I'll put money down. You know, if this merger goes through, it seems like a no-brainer. They're going to go with WWE. WWE is going to give them ratings. It's going to give them subscribers as opposed to AEW. That's not going to do that. They don't have a streaming service, and their traffic online and also weekly is nowhere near what WWE is. So this could be a significant business decision that could affect Tony Khan's company down the line, bro.
Yeah, man. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, what are you going to pick? I think anybody with a brain knows what they're going to pick. You know what I'm saying? And anybody with a brand would pick the WWE and that brand. And not only its brand, but just its catalog, man. I mean, its video catalog and its library. It's like it's a ton of money, man. Not only that, but you got the licensing for the NWO, which is still one of the, like, the top shirts sold. You know, like, you know, it's a no-brainer, dude. It's a no-brainer, you know? And I think this really, again, it's more of the same old for Tony Khan. You know, he had so many chances to, like, move this company ahead, to do something interesting, to do something different, to get attention, to maybe kind of push it in the ratings a little bit. I mean, they're never going to compete, like, you know, with WWE on the global scale, and, you know, it's merchandising and everything else. And, you know, again, you have to admit the fact that WWE does have a head start. But even so, like, they still have better people that have been in charge, you know, and people that know the business and people that know what to do with the business to be able to get it out to more people, to sell more stuff. and to get everybody paid, because at the end of the day, that is what it's about. It's about money. Everybody's trying to get paid. Those wrestlers don't go in there for, you know, for hugs and, you know, signing autographs and acknowledgement at the airport. No, they go in there to get paid. So they're trying to make cash. And I think it's a no-brainer, man. It's a no-brainer.
It really is. Folks, it's going to be interesting to watch these developments in the coming months, because, again, should this merger materialize and be official, it's going to have serious ramifications on one company. It's as simple as that. Rivera, certainly this week, on a local scene, obviously, AEW Grand Slam emanating from the Arthur Ashe Tennis Center in Queens, right across the street from Citi Field, you know, and the home of the New York Mets. I have to say is, you know, obviously it's taken hold already. And you know what, for a show that needs to do well from a gate perspective and a ratings perspective, again, we don't know. My sources tell me the show is still not sold out. We've heard since last year that obviously there'll be some tactics where, okay, they'll probably offer more affordable tickets the day of. We'll see. It should be, well, somewhat close to full, maybe not completely full, like last year's Grand Slam. But it seems like Tony Khan, you know, I hate to overuse this analogy, but you know, he's pushing his chips in the middle of the table. He's trying to get a good rating here. AEW main event, the main event will be AEW World Championship Finals of the Tournament of Champions tournament to fill the vacant AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson, both members of the Blackpool Combat Club, will go at it. Local guys, the Acclaimed from Jersey, will challenge Swerve and Our Glory for the AEW World Tag Team titles. The interim AEW Women's World Championship, Toni Storm will defend against my girl, the Professor of Professional Wrestling, Serena Deeb, versus Athena versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. The AEW Geography Challenged Championship will be on the line. This Pac defend against Orange Cassidy. And the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship, Claudio Castagnoli will defend against the one title that Chris Jericho has never held, the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. And on Friday's Grand Slam, it will be Action Bronson and Hook, the locals, fighting Matt Menard and Angela Parker from the Jericho Appreciation Society. No surprise here, Brody King and Buddy Matthews will challenge Sting and Darby Allin in a no disqualification match. Get ready to have Sting jump from the scoreboard at Citi Field across the way. And Samoa Joe and Wardlow will team up against Team Mark Sterling, and TBS champion Jade Cargill will defend against Diamante. It seems like Tony Khan's really going all out here, man, to really make sure that Grand Slam gets that traffic, man. Rivera, your thoughts on this card coming up next week from Queens, New York?
Holy shit, you're not blown up after reading that? Jesus, man, I'd be blown up after reading that. How many fucking matches was that? Good God! Well,
it is five matches on Wednesday. It is five matches on Wednesday, and it'll be four matches, I believe. This Rampage is only going to be an hour. It was. In other news too, the Rampage the night before. Whatever the show is in Prudential Center in November. Rusty Nail's a drink. You know, Squeaky Wheel, whatever it is, that Rampage will be live on Friday night from Prudential, and it's a two-hour Rampage at 10 p.m., emanating from Newark, New Jersey, so check that out. But, big card next week for Grand Slam in Queens, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot of matches, Whew, I'm pretty blown up just hearing that. Look, at the end of the day, they got to do what they got to do. They got to put forward the best shit that they can right now. That's what they feel is going to work. That's fine. Again, I feel like they dropped the ball, man. They really dropped the ball. They had a chance to do hot shit with the Bucks, with Kenny, with Punk, you know. And this dude just, he has no control. He has no balls. And he didn't work that situation to his advantage. He really didn't. And even MJF. Yeah, MJF's going to be MJF. He's always going to have hot takes. He's always going to have sound bites. You know, he had his little beef with Sheamus and stuff like that over scarves and the PWI 500 and all this other stuff, right? And you know, Tony Khan just misses golden opportunities. Are we noticing a theme here? Every time I talk about this, this is what I feel like I have to reiterate every time we talk about AEW. Because it's just like, this is what keeps happening, you know? And like, okay, great, Bryan Danielson versus Moxley. That should be a good match, right? And I think we'd all expect Danielson to win, right? Because now, finally, Tony Khan's going to get it in his head that he has a real good champion that he should put the belt on and not give it to, you know, somebody else who's maybe not ready to have that championship yet. You know, a mainstream star, I think he recognizes that opportunity now. But even then, it's still way after the fact. He should have done this a long time ago. So, look, I'm sure everybody's going to put in a shift. I'm sure the guys and the girls are going to go out there. They're going to entertain, especially all the locals. They're going to put on a great show for everybody that came out to see him. But I got to be honest, I'm just not terribly excited about this. And the only thing that's kind of making me watch is Danielson and Moxley, just to see, you know, what they're going to do and how they're going to work it. And who goes
Rivera.
Over, really. You know, that would be interesting
Rivera,
to see.
Hold on a second. You're not excited for the coveted Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship as Claudio Castagnoli defends against the one title that Chris Jericho has never held? I don't think he held the New Japan title, so that's probably the other title he's never held. But he's never held in North America, the Ring of Honor. That's not compelling television, Rivera?
Look, I'm going to say this. I respect Chris Jericho 1,000%, okay? Chris Jericho is one of the best wrestlers to ever do it. A fantastic talker, a fantastic worker. You know, a guy who's able to reinvent himself constantly, still find a way to get himself over with some type of an audience. You know, but I haven't been a fan of his works for quite some time. But these last couple of years, I think, have been... You give him credit for going out there, but it's just not what he's capable of. I don't think it's the best that he could do. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to say that it's a disservice to his legacy or anything like that now. I'm not even going to say that anymore. But I just think it's like Tony Khan's paying this guy $5 million, and he has to put him out there, and he has to perform. And one of his top earners just – he's apparently sitting out somewhere, whether he's injured or whatever is up for debate. But he's sitting out somewhere, and he's got two of his top earners that he has to just continue to push. But Tony Khan is doing things now that, you know, he has to do because he fucked up so bad. Like, that's basically what it is. Like, he's almost forcing himself to do things that make sense in a way. Like, oh, I have main eventers. I'm going to put them in the main event. I have my top earners. I'm going to put them in my main event. You know, he's doing things that actually make sense now because he fucked up so bad. But, you know, I personally haven't really enjoyed Chris Jericho's work. I haven't enjoyed the Lionheart thing recently. I don't know. I'm not into it. But hey, it's going to pop that crowd. I'm sure he and Claudio will be able to figure something out. You know, regardless, that's what Tony Khan wants to book. What are you going to do? You know, and I'm sure those guys are going to go out there and put in a shift. That's it.
I'm with you, man. And another match that's on my radar, again, because they're local boys, the Acclaimed, who, listen, they had a great match against Sorbo and Gloria at All Out, one of the better matches I thought of that card. You know, I don't want to say this is anticlimactic, but you almost got to think that in the rematch, in New York City, in their, you know, near New Jersey, you got to hope the hometown kids win this. You know, you're going to laugh when I say this. It's almost like when I went to WrestleMania 2019, WrestleMania 35, here at MetLife, bro, and you know how big of a fan I am of Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, the local guys, when they fought, you know, FTR for the Raw Tag titles. I was like, come on, man. They got to win this. They got to win this at home. And, you know, they gave us a nice feel-good moment for them, winning the belt at WrestleMania at MetLife, you know, in the New York, New Jersey area. So that's I was pretty happy that day. I'm hoping that Tony Khan can kind of do the same for the Acclaimed. I mean, they could still keep feuding, bro. It's not like, okay, this is the end of the feud. The Acclaimed can get the titles here, get their win, and then Swerve and Our Glory can either break up or they can have the rubber match eventually down the line. But I'm hoping the Acclaimed wins this Wednesday night, bro.
I think they're long overdue, man. And, like, when we talk about, like, some of the acts in AEW that, you know, are over and are their own acts, to me, they're one of the best ones, if not the best one. I'd put them up there with Wardlow and MJF. You know, like, they're just super over. And they should have been pushed this way a long time ago, in my opinion, instead of just being kind of like a comedy job act team. But, you know, I'm glad to see that they're finally doing something with them. And I think, yeah, they absolutely have to go over here. And I think you break up Swerve and Our Glory because it's been good, but it hasn't been – I'm not blown away by it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're both good workers, but I'm just not blown away by it. And I think the Acclaimed, they got something hot going right now. You got to give it to them. They got the hot hand going in with the crowd, with everything. And you break up Swerve and Our Glory, and you have them feud. And I'm sure that those two could work together and have some good matches, and you can figure out what to do from there.
I'm with you, man. Again, a card that – it's going to be interesting, though, Fab, because I got to tell you, man, it's not a live Rampage on Friday. So let's be honest, the card I just listed for you, I mean, you get there to Arthur Ashe Stadium, maybe 6 or 7 p.m., gates open, free show. You're going to be at Arthur Ashe Stadium until 1 in the morning. Think about it. You got the four matches on Rampage. You got the no disqualification match. Again, I think Sting will either jump off the scoreboard on City Field across the street or off of Arthur Ashe's statue, you know, in the lobby. I don't know. He'll jump off something. Because, you know, once I heard this is no disqualification, I said, oh, forget about it. This is going to be a comedy act with this match. So for anyone going to Grand Slam this Wednesday night, folks, be prepared to, sit there until 1-ish in the morning and then, you know, hit that traffic on the Grand Central Parkway leaving City Field to get home is going to be interesting, I think, for people to have to go to work on Thursday morning, Rivera.
Yeah, they're going to be thinking all this for AEW. That's what they're going to be thinking the next morning, you know, when they're sitting in traffic pissed off.
Hey, they're dedicated. Hey, listen, well, yeah. You might laugh. Hey, listen, folks, you might laugh, but last night as I was heading to the Alligator Lounge in Brooklyn, good old Williamsburg, I believe. I think that's the section we went to. A couple fans of the show, our boys Dante Lupo, the Dean Dante Lupo, excuse me, and my beloved cousin Cash Uribe, Danny Uribe. As we were driving in Rivera last night to, you know,
oh my God! Oh, I could have known saw that one. Did you just say Cash Uribe?
Well,
oh
you
my
know,
God.
Well, Cash Wheeler's name is Daniel Wheeler, so I was like, just call him Cash Uribe. He's fine with it. So we're big FTR marks, so you know, we're not upset. But
wow.
Bro, look how dedicated we are. As I was driving in, I put my phone on the thing right on my dashboard, and what happens? I have Sling, and what were we doing as I'm driving in? We had Rampage on as we were driving after 10 p.m. into Brooklyn to go to our boy Sidney Brown Jr.'s birthday. Shout out to Sidney again. Good to see the whole fam out there last night in Brooklyn. Yeah, bro, we were dedicated. We were watching Rampage on the drive-in on the into Brooklyn. So if that's not dedication, Rivera, I don't know what is.
No comment.
All right, folks here, let's talk about some ratings this week. Let me get my notes here. You know, Rivera, Raw, once again, another strong showing. It did dip below 2 million. Of course, March were going crazy. Oh, you see, the bloom has fallen off the rose with Triple H. No, folks, it was the season premiere of Monday Night Football, and while it's two teams I don't really care for, the Seahawks and Broncos. It was a compelling game. It was Russell Wilson's return to Seattle since being traded from the Seahawks. Again, this is not SportsCenter, so I don't mistake working the marks for NFL primetime here. But certainly it was a compelling game. It was the first Monday night game of the NFL season. I think that probably has something to do with it, but still a good showing here. 1.71. It was down from the previous weeks, but Rivera, these numbers, just for our audience at home here, I just look at my notes here. I mean, September 12th, yes, we just passed 1.71. On Labor Day, 2.094. Again, a solid number for Labor Day, which is always a holiday. Previous week, 2.11. Week before that, August 22nd, 2.01. August 15th, 1.97. August 8th, 1.957. August 1st, 2.23. Yeah, you know, it's been fluctuating, but it's been in the early twos. We had a good 2.23 rating right after, basically the week after SummerSlam. And even the rating on Labor Day, right after the Clash of the Castle. I mean, these are good numbers, Rivera. I mean, again, the marks, and people want to be fickle about, oh, the bloom has fallen off the rose with Triple H. No, it hasn't. It's still compelling television. It's still good. And the numbers show that, Rivera.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, you know, everybody's going to talk shit. I mean, everybody's waiting for it because, you know, the marks are kind of divided. You know, the AEW crowd doesn't want to, you know, they're basically going to go down with the Titanic. That's what's going to happen with them. You know, their heart will go on, you know. They're freaking Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know what other Titanic references I could throw in there besides those, but you get the drift. You know, for me, I think what WWE is doing is really good. You got to judge the product over a long period of time building up to the big shows. Some TV shows might be bad. Some TV shows might be good. There might be good stuff here. There might be bad stuff there. You know, it's very inconsistent, you know, but for the most part, WWE and what they do and what they've been doing, whether it's under Vince McMahon for the most part overall or currently under Triple H, you know, they always do stuff that makes a ton of sense and gears in a direction that is exciting and has a payoff. So, you know, Tony Khan, again, still has a ways to go. He also, I think, maybe needs to take that L and maybe try and reach out to, like, Gabe Sapolsky or try and reach out to somebody like that and try and maybe get some help in there because he's not going to get anywhere if he doesn't, you know. He really needs to focus on improving his product overall and just really taking it to another level.
It's, listen, fans, if you could be intellectually honest, ladies and gentlemen, it's a different direction now with Paul Levesque. The presentation's been amazing, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show, talking about that. But certainly the ratings have been consistent. You know what you're getting for 3 hours on Monday nights, especially now with Paul Levesque. A little bit of a – well, not a little bit. I think in some respects a different direction and division than Vince McMahon had. And fans have not abandoned it. Fans are still tuning in. There's a lot of things going on. They're elevating the secondary championships, like the coveted – United States Heavyweight Championship. The women's tag titles, obviously, are being featured prominently again. We're seeing some character development in storylines, like with The Miz and Dexter Lumis, I think has been brilliant storytelling as far as I'm concerned. It's been funny, but it's been good, compelling. And they're both good workers. You know, Dexter Lumis has a history of being a good worker. Maybe not the flashiest guy in the world. Neither is The Miz. Neither is Mike Mizanin. But I'm sure eventually when they have their showdown, that'll be compelling. Certainly we're seeing what's going on with the rest of the roster. Kevin Owens cutting a great promo this week with Austin Theory. Oh, it's compelling television. People are tuning in. And I know that the marks want to rejoice. Oh, look what happened on Monday night. Again, it's the season premiere of Monday Night Football. It's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I don't really care for Joe Buck, but again, ESPN always does well with the premiere. And it's going to keep doing well because it's Monday Night Football. Now, it depends on the game. If I'm not mistaken, I think this Monday night is, you know, maybe not as compelling a game because of the storyline, but it's going to be interesting. Bills Mafia is going to be going crazy in upstate New York. It's the Titans and the Bills. That's probably going to get a good rating again because it's Josh Allen. He's a dynamic young player. It'll probably do well. We'll see how Raw does on Monday. Okay, but again, in the following week, it's the Cowboys at the Giants. That's a rivalry game. That'll probably do a good rating for ESPN. I'm sure Raw will still do fine. So I think the marks that are getting all glee and blowing a load on themselves, oh, look what happened, WWE, no, they're not going to go down. Trust me. Vince, now at the Paul Levesque, have dealt with Monday Night Football for 30 years, and they've found a way to always make Raw compelling and have strong traffic. So I think the mark's got to take it easy a little bit.
Can I'd like to add something to that, too. See, what WWE does to me is more built for the long haul than what AEW does. AEW has a bunch of guys that they're wrestlers. They do spots. They do all this stuff. They cut their fucking heads open. You know, they take 75 Canadian destroyers. They forearm each other until they're blue. You know, all that shit that they do, right? And a lot of these guys end up getting hurt and drop like flies because, yo, it's a very physical kind of style of work consistently over time. Whereas WWE is really character-driven. I mean, take Dexter Lumis and The Miz, for example. That's all character-driven. Those guys haven't even touched yet. And there's already anticipation for that feud. You know what I mean? There's already anticipation for that match. There's something there. You know what I mean? And you're able to do this character work more over time instead of just beating the shit out of each other and chopping each other and all this other nonsense that they do.
Listen, you're absolutely right about that. I think that's a great breakdown exactly of the distinct difference between the two products. Speaking of the other product, this past week on Dynamite, pretty high rating, one of their highest ones since last year's Grand Slam. But this week's show, obviously no surprise, you had the semifinals of the tournament. You had Moxley against Jericho. And I'm sorry, you had Moxley against Guevara, and you had Danielson against Jericho. You knew that was going to draw some traffic. Certainly some of the spot fest, right? We had Swerve in Our Glory defend the tag titles against the Lucha Brothers. You had you had Penta Cero de Miedo giving Keith Lee a Canadian Destroyer. You had Phoenix give Swerve, I think, like a triple Lindy. If anyone ever watched Back to School, like the equivalent of that dive. Again, it was an entertaining spot fest, but they got a 1.175 this week. Rivera, again, their highest number since last year's Grand Slam, obviously with the main event being Kenny Omega defending the AEW World Championship against Bryan Danielson. Last few weeks, though, this past week, 1.175, September 7th, 1.035, August 31st, 1.020, August 24th, 1.049. So, all right, they've had over a million for 4 weeks in a row. Not an overwhelming million. Again, I hate to poo-poo it. I know AEW marks that listen to the show are going to be like, well, Fernando's just being Fernando. He's just sort of, you know, being overly critical. Well, I get paid to do that, folks. But, you know, 1.175 is a nice number, Rivera, but it's still not – Tony Khan still needs to be concerned here. I mean, for everything you're booking on this show, for what you're presenting, yeah, it's great for that niche audience that loves, as you mentioned, 79 Canadian Destroyers, 57 high cross bodies from the top rope to the floor, you know, DDTs, super kicks. It's got to be better than 1.0. And I get it, 1.175 is their best number in a year. It's got to be better, Rivera.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying this for how long? You know, they have to improve. They have to be able to build on what they have. But again, every time that they have an opportunity to do something different, they don't. They don't. You know, to quote CM Punk, they step on their own dick. That's what they do. And it's ridiculous. That whole Punk situation, they could have handled that better. They could have made those guys work together. You know, if it's really such a feud or whatever, be a professional. Do your job. You know, that's it. Who cares about that? The boys got into a fight in the back. Big deal. That's it. Shit happens. We move on, you know? And that's it. And let's make some fucking money. But instead, they're not doing that. You know, well, you know, we're going to take the nice layout and blah, 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 and all this other shit. And, man, give me a break. Give me a break. Give me a break. You know, nobody wants to watch a guy coming out, you know, tossing a pizza. That shit's not meant for mainstream television. That's meant for the indies. That's cool for the indies. That's fine. I'm not shitting on a gimmick like that. I like that gimmick. I think it's great for the indies, for that environment, for that type of wrestling. But you can't bring that to a mainstream audience and expect people to care about it. Even Santino was freaking, you know, Italian. That dude's a shoot fighter. He'll fuck somebody up, you know? he'll beat that motherfucker up. He'll stretch him out and fucking make a pizza with the dough that he's got there or whatever. You know? Like, he's a real dude, you know? So, I mean, I don't know, man. They focus on the wrong things all the time for me. And I think that's their biggest problem. And again, at least Tony Khan's consistent. He's consistent with that. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah, again, I got to tell you, it's a really alarming trend. And as we head into Grand Slam, it's one of their bigger shows that they like to promote every, you know, for the second year in a row. You know, you're thinking that, again, last week's 1.175 was their best number in a year. You got to believe that they've been advertising it heavily. You've seen billboards. You know, I was driving back from yesterday, and I saw a couple of billboards on the Long Island Expressway. Heading back from Brooklyn, I saw a couple of billboards near Times Square. So, I mean, yeah, you're putting money into marketing, but it's got to translate into a better presentation on Wednesday night. Listen, I don't want to push the panic button right now, but this is a big show for Tony Khan. Tony Khan, especially as you're filling the vacant AEW title, you're almost assuming that MJF is going to make an appearance. He was right near Long Island. You know he's going to get a pop. You know, it almost seems anticlimactic where whoever wins the title is going to get shortchanged within seconds because MJF is going to come in and cash in. Whether he does it by himself or he comes in with the firm, you know, that stable he has on retainer with Stokely Holloway and everybody else. I don't know, man. It just seems like this is a really big show for Tony Khan. You want to get a good number. You want to get a good gate. You want to get good merch sales. Again, this is a turning point, I think, for AEW, especially since you're not, since Punk is going to be out for at least X amount of months on whatever injury he has or claims to have. The EVPs, obviously, are off television. You know, Kenny Omega was in Tokyo this week at the Sega World Headquarters. Nowhere to be found are Matt and Nick Jackson. This is a big turning point, Rivera, for AEW. These are the stars you have left to work with. You got to mold that clay into something significant Wednesday night. It remains to be seen if they can do that, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. I have serious doubts. Like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was trying to be optimistic, but I got doubts, man, because this Punk situation, this Young Bucks thing, this is something that they could have turned into money, man, and they fucked it up. They fucked it up. And if he had his head screwed on right, that's what he would have done. That's what he would have done. You don't want to work? We'll fire you. Goodbye. You're gone. We'll release you then. And that's it. You work. You show up. You be a professional. We'll make money. We'll do things. There's a lot of interesting stuff you can do with those guys, you know? But he's going to put the title on Danielson more than likely. And I don't think that's the place or the time to have MJF cash in or whatever they call it. I don't think that's the time for him to do it. I think the time for MJF to do that is at Years of Glory, whatever it's called. Full gear. Okay, there you go. Full gear. So partial gear. that should be the build up to it. I'm shocked he hasn't done that.
Semi gear.
Yeah. How come Luger never got like a midget wrestler back in the day? He should have gotten a midget wrestler called the Partial Package. I think that would have been great. You know, that would have been good stuff. Remember when everybody had a fucking mini, you know, mini Mankind,
yep.
Mini Vader, like, you know, mini Luger, the Partial Package. Just a really jacked, can I say midget? Is that, or is it the M word? No, I don't know. I don't know what the.
I believe is a vertically challenged person. So I believe that's
vertically
the
challenged
now.
Person. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yes. So BCP, there you go.
There you go.
BCP. It would have been good for him to have one. But yeah, I don't know. I think they should hold off until the pay-per-view to give it to MJF. You know, you don't want to shoot your load twice there, so to speak. You know what I mean? You don't want to do that. You don't want to give the fans two nice things on top of each other because then that's going to leave you with less nice things. And I think he's in a position where he should probably try and save his nice things while he has them. I think Danielson winning the title there is nice. I think that's good. That's interesting. The fans are going to like it. Who doesn't like Bryan Danielson? You know, you got to be a strange person if you don't like Bryan Danielson. And I think that'll be good. You could tease it at the very least. You could tease it somehow, you know. But I think the best thing you can do is just hold off on giving MJF the title. Let Bryan be champion. See how he does with the ratings. See how he does with what you do. You know, he's kind of in a no-win situation in a sense, because if he doesn't draw ratings as a champ, people are going to say, well, you know, he didn't draw ratings as a champ. Punk did, you know, and all this other stuff. But then if he does draw ratings as a champ, you know, it'll be something, you know, kind of cool, at least for him. You know, he'll kind of prove it. And it'll be interesting that he'll be able to do that. Even after, in my opinion, I think he's kind of been flubbed up in booking. I think we could both agree on that, that they haven't really handled Bryan Danielson in the best way. But, you know, just give it to Danielson. Let him ride it out. Let him hold the title. Give him a couple of TV feuds. Maybe hold it off to Loaded Weapon. Or you know what? Keep it in very MJF fashion that he just doesn't do what the people want him to do. And let him hold out until he wants to cash it in whenever. You know, because that'll be a very MJF thing to do. Wouldn't it be?
No, listen, I think you hit the nail on the head. I feel that putting the title on Danielson works. Let's see how this marinates organically when it comes to ratings. Let's see if, again, Bryan Danielson is a big name in professional wrestling, folks. You can say what you want. You may not like the way he's being used in AEW, which, you know, Rivera and I vehemently agree on. Like, the ball's been dropped from the beginning with Bryan Danielson by Tony Khan. You know, a year ago at Grand Slam, he should have won the title. He should have beaten Kenny Omega at Grand Slam in that packed arena. But, again, Tony Khan was more insistent on, oh, there's a process. You know, Kenny's going to be leaving soon. But he'd rather drop the title to a homegrown guy like Adam Page, who's one of our guys. And he was out on maternity leave. And, you know, paternity leave, excuse me. And, hey, when he comes back, I promised to put the belt on him. That's what the reports were, Rivera. I think that was poor planning by Tony Khan. You could have put the belt on Danielson. He came in hot. And you could maybe been riding a wave for the rest of 2021 going into 2022 with Bryan Danielson as a heel or whatever as the champion. You mean to tell me that wouldn't have gotten ratings and traffic? Yeah, I know you can't use the Yes moniker. It's copyrighted, but he's a bigger name than anybody in AEW. And again, ball was dropped there. Let's see if Tony Khan drops the ball again a year later at Grand Slam. Put the belt on Danielson, like you said. Let it marinate. Let him be on TV for weeks at a time. And why would you do a cash-in on TV? Do it at a pay-per-view. And it seems like, and it's still months away, like, you know, mid-November seems like a lifetime. It really isn't. It's about 7 weeks from now. But you could do something with Danielson on TV as champion in the meantime until we get to, the broken wheel at Prudential Center.
The broken wheel. That's great. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm just not terribly interested in it. I got to be honest. Just not into it.
No, I feel you. SmackDown ratings are looking strong still, Rivera. Last night's numbers not come in yet, but you got to believe it's probably going to still be strong. Here are some numbers for the recent weeks here. Last week, September the 9th, 2.36, one of the highest ratings of the year thus far. Also, we're looking at the Friday, the day right before Clash of the Castle. Obviously, it was a tape show, but still a great rating going into the Clash of the Castle show, 2.077. August 26th, 1.99. I mean, for all intents and purposes, that's 2 million. August 19th, 2.084. August 12th, 1.927. August 5th, 2.09. And the first SmackDown, essentially in the Paul Levesque era, right after SummerSlam, was 2.19. The week before that, July 22nd, 2.256. Listen, SmackDown continues to be great television on Friday nights. You know, seeing Braun Strowman yesterday was hysterical. Come in during the the Maximale Model segment. Certainly that main event, that fatal four-way tag match determine the number one contenders. I mean, you want to talk about four teams just beating the piss out of each other. Great, great production in that match. Again, a bit of a surprise. I thought maybe New Day would get the title shot. But also, listen, I can watch the New Day and the Usos feud forever. Freshen up a little bit. New blood into the title picture. We saw that. The Brawling Brutes, Butch, and the other gentleman won last night. That should be interesting. You know, again, a little bit, you know, new blood
Ridge,
there.
Ridge Holland. His name's Ridge Holland.
Ridge Holland, yes. Thank you. Yeah, new blood in the title picture. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. Solid SmackDown, solid numbers. You know, Fox is, again, you know, they're every dollar they put into this, every dollar they put into this investment has paid off for them. SmackDown continues to draw big numbers on Fox.
Yeah, I mean, that's expected, man. SmackDown's a big show. You know, it's the A show. You know they're going to draw ratings constantly. You know they're going to end up doing what they got to do. So I'm totally not surprised by any of this. And I think the Brawling Brutes, that's been a long time coming. You know I'm a fan of Butch. You know I love Butch. It's the best stuff this dude's done in his career. So good to see them get some shine.
Listen, I'm with you. I think it's been great television. For weeks now with Butch, I think it's been, listen, like anything else, man, it's been an interesting perspective in how a lot of fans were not happy about Pete Dunne's evolution into Butch. And remember, a lot of marks were complaining on Twitter and Instagram, oh, what's Vince doing? Why is he repackaging people? But, hey, Paul Levesque is taking this character and just pretty much – and it's funny, man, because it's like the little things – that you, as we talk about this show, it's the little things that marks complain about. Oh, the name change. Oh, the tights. Why is he wearing suspenders? Why is he wearing a white tank top t-shirt? You know, and it's just simple little things that Paul Levesque, you know, and this is a great term you use all the time. Yeah, you know what? Paul's like, no, let me just scratch the belly of the marks a little bit. Let's have Butch wear his old gear again, but it's still Butch. It's still the same character he's playing. And it's funny how the marks just suddenly quiet down, right, Rivera?
Well, yeah, of course, man. I mean, look, at the end of the day, man, these people know what they're doing. They understand the business better than any of these marks could ever think they would, you know? And I'm not surprised. This is something they've been developing for a while. They've been letting it marinate organically. You know, this whole, like, crazy Butch character, I think it's great. I think it's great stuff. So that's going to be cool against the Usos, and I'm pretty excited for all that. Again, they're just more character work. That's all they're doing. The character work is the big part. The wrestling kind of just accents it, you know. Just that's basically what it is. But it's all character driven stuff, and it's all really good.
No, it really, really is, and the numbers prove that. And again, you know, ratings. You know, we'll continue to break it down, folks, every single week for you here, better than anybody else when it comes to analytics and data. We'll break it down for you every week here, always on Working the Marks. Rivera, our main event topic this week, and, you know, we're already over a month into the Paul Levesque era and the Paul Levesque era regime, as they say, being in charge of creative for WWE, for the brands. We know that NXT... the third brand, as I like to refer to it, I know you'll disagree, is being overseen by new executive vice president, Shawn Michaels, you know, a.k.a. Michael Hickenbottom down in NXT. I have to say, man, you know, when we look at a month or so in already, you know, about 6 weeks now, going into the Paul Levesque era, this has been, you know, it's interesting, in a short amount of time, you know, 6 weeks only, and you're seeing Paul Levesque, it just everything he's touching is turning to gold here. I would argue again, and you know, you and I disagree about booking sometimes, going back to Vince and what would we have booked differently in 30 years of Vince McMahon, and we'll always agree to disagree on some things. But 6 weeks in, whether it's now pushing Logan Paul into this main event spotlight, whether it's the production value of what you're seeing with Roman Reigns and his promos, the bloodline. This past week, certainly seeing Damage Control win the Women's World Tag Titles. My girl Io Sky and Dakota Kai winning the Women's Tag Titles. That faction getting stronger. Certainly Bayley. Again, never been a fan of Bayley as a face or a heel, but hey, amazing worker. She does a great job in that with that character. As we talked about before, I mean, whether it's the Brutes getting into the spotlight now for the tag team titles, whether it's Braun Strowman coming in and just sort of popping a crowd with his entrance and what he's doing, demolishing people, whether it's the Bloodline, obviously, seeing Solo Sikoa win the NXT North American Championship now, bringing that to SmackDown, being part of the Bloodline, what we're seeing consistently, even, you know, Hit Row back on television, putting up compelling matches in that Fatal 4-Way, whether it's, I mean, you know, take your pick, the Judgment Day, the character development with Dominic since joining the Judgment Day. I mean, bro, 6 weeks in, and we've talked about this before, I grade for a living. I have no qualms whatsoever. I don't give A pluses. That's just not what the grading scale is in academia. It's either A, B plus, B, et cetera, et cetera. There's no such thing as A pluses. That's more like sort of elementary school, high school thing. But I got to tell you, man, if I had to give an A plus, it's hard to argue that Paul Levesque has not earned an A plus with 6 weeks in running creative. Where am I wrong here, bro?
I don't know. I mean, look, you know, it's all kind of subjective, right? And I kind of understand, like, what the goal is for him and what the goal is for the company and how they want to branch out into certain demos and kind of try and give these kids nowadays their own little attitude era. But, you know, it's all kind of trial and error even with him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he was successful with NXT, but NXT, their product is it's developmental. They're getting these guys ready to be ready for Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. You know, that's what it is. And, you know, it's a different approach. It's a different presentation. You know, there's so many moving parts to that that are entirely different from what the main roster is. And, you know, I'm curious to see how he's going to do with the big events, you know, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. How is he going to make it different from Vince? How is he going to make it better than Vince did? Is it going to be worse than what Vince did? You know, it's going to be really interesting to see. One thing I'm kind of not into is Ronda getting the rematch against Liv again. I don't think that's necessary. I think, you know, maybe they should be keeping Ronda stronger, but kind of keeping her away from everything. I like the whole, you know, Ronda showing up and beating people up thing. I think that's cool. That's something I think they could have done a long time ago. You know, beating up men and stuff like that, you know, like, you know, former NWA champion, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, Law and Order, WWE, you know, and that
God,
stuff.
God, Pat, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt real quick. I know you're a big Adam Pearce fan. He's a great worker in his time. I'm just, bro, whether it's Commissioner Slaughter, whether it's WWF President Gorilla Monsoon, I've never just liked these on-screen authority. I've never liked it. It's never
Who's going to delegate the matches?
What's that?
Who's going to delegate the matches then? Who's going to do all this stuff? You're just going to present cards? Because everybody had, like, a president or a commissioner or everybody had a leader.
I don't disagree.
Everybody had something.
I don't disagree about the optic about, hey, former commissioners, like former WCW commissioner, the esteemed Nick Bockwinkel, to WWF president, Gorilla Monsoon. I get all that. But I think in recent years, whether it was the authority angle or the GM thing for a lot of years, it just seemed like, again, kayfabe is gone. We know who's in charge. So at the end of the day, it's like, like, do we need that middleman?
Regardless, you still want to keep certain aspects of it. Kayfabe is dead, but you want to keep people wondering at least. You want to keep people thinking. You know, what made this whole CM Punk thing cool? What made the screw job interesting? What made all these other controversial events in the history of the business interesting? The fact that you blurred the lines and you made people wonder, holy shit, is this real? What's going on here? So you've got to keep that, you know? I think that they're useful, honestly. I really do. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to keep pulling Triple H out there every time for a pop. You want to save that shit for, like, WrestleMania or something big. You know, it's fucking Triple H. Besides, it's not about him. He doesn't need to be coming out there talking, making it about him.
about the talent in the ring. You know, Scrap Iron, he's a guy that they had under contract. He was an agent. He's a dude who knows what he's doing. He's good on the stick. I mean, that promo with Ronda was good. You know, all that stuff that happened was good. You know,
that's fair.
That was interesting stuff, you know, to get that character across, and the crowd was into it, and it got people talking. So at the end of the day, it's successful and it works, you know, and whether it's Sergeant Slaughter, Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, Eric Bischoff, Stephanie McMahon, Theodore Long, The Undertaker, I had to say that, you know, any of the other people, Regal, you know, whoever. I mean, it's necessary. It's necessary. And it's a spot for somebody to do something. And typically it's people who speak well and get their point across. But,
Rivera, real quick, and I'll let you finish. I'll let you finish your point. I'm sorry. But you mentioned about Ronda Rousey. And I think it sort of lends itself really to the premise of this segment here about the job Paul Levesque is doing. And listen, you know how I have felt about Ronda Rousey. It's never caught on for me, and I get it. She was brought into sort of a very tough situation, someone who is not as trained, let's say, as Shayna Baszler or other workers. She's tried her best. She's gotten better. I'm intellectually honest enough to admit she's gotten a lot better than let's be honest, what we saw from 2018, in 2019 here, main eventing WrestleMania 35 at MetLife Stadium. Yeah, she was off TV for a while, had a baby, came back. I mean, if anyone's going to be able to get the most out of Ronda Rousey in this sort of storyline, whether it's next month's pay-per-view, PLE on Peacock in Philadelphia, the Extreme Rules match, if anyone's going to be able to maybe get the most out of Ronda Rousey and maybe, you know, yeah, she's over with the crowd. I get it. I don't think some of us maybe have a little apathy towards Ronda Rousey. But if anyone can really, I think, maximize or bring out what can make Ronda more compelling, I have no doubt it's going to be Paul Levesque eventually, you know, as this marinates.
I strongly disagree. Ronda's been compelling, and Ronda is compelling. You might not like it, but she sold out a stadium. You know what I'm saying? And she was in the first women's main event at WrestleMania. So people are clearly interested in her. You know, you might not like her, but the interest is there for her where, you know, people care enough to go see her in a freaking stadium. So I don't know, but I think Ronda's not the right person to be challenging Liv right now. I think the person that should be challenging Liv is Charlotte Flair. And I think Charlotte should come back, feud with Liv, and let Liv get a victory over Queen. And that'll build up, you know, Liv. That'll kind of prop her up. It doesn't hurt Charlotte to lose. Charlotte's won the title more than anybody else. She's like her daddy, you know? So, you know, it's perfectly fine, and I think that would be a nice little feather in Liv's cap. And I think that could go a long ways to legitimizing her to the audience and to maybe get her over to maybe more mainstream fans.
No, I'm with
you.
I'm with you.
I mean, you know,
that's
subjective. You know what I'm saying?
No, it certainly is subjective, and you raise great points about that specific program. I'm with you. And another thing, too, actually, you know, I wanted to mention this since we are moving towards the next PLE on Peacock, and it's going to be Extreme Rules from Philadelphia, arguably the home of Extreme, right, from the good old ECW days with Paul Heyman and what Extreme Championship Wrestling means to us in our childhood into adulthood, watching that programming. I got to tell you, man, you know, mark alert. But, you know, for years we've been watching Extreme Rules, and it's okay, great name for a pay-per-view at the time, now PLE. Bro, if you're going to be having a PLE called Extreme Rules, again, this is the mark in me, every match should have a gimmick, okay? I'm not saying every match has to be like, you know, lockdown, like back in TNA Impact where every match is a cage match. I get it. That's overkill. But, you know, if you're gonna go to a PLE called Extreme Rules, yes, great. Ronda and Liv are going to have an Extreme Rules match. I'm not sure what the rest of the card is shipping up to be. I'm sure there'll be some gimmicks to it. I don't need to see a regular rules match. If Dexter Lumis is going to fight Miz, I don't want to see a regular match, bro. It's Extreme Rules. Remember, it's the one time a year WWE goes extreme. Come on, man. Make every match in the card something, a street fight, false count anywhere, I don't know, take fists, I don't know, Singapore Kane match. I want gimmicks. It's what the PLE is predicated on. It's the name. That's what I want. All right, so that's my Mark rant for the week here, folks.
I get what you're saying, but I disagree. I think those kind of matches are used to enhance feuds, whether it's a month-long feud that needs a blow-off or a championship match or a match with some high stakes in it. I think it adds to that. You could have regular wrestling matches there. The old DCW used to have a ton of great technical wrestling and great stuff, and then they would also have the extreme stuff and the blood and all that other thing. So, I mean, if ECW could do it, there's no reason why, you know, they can't do it either. So, you know, let's kind of cool it with the Mark stuff there, you know, because I don't think it has to be like that. And I think it makes the show a little hokey, in my opinion.
But Rivera, it's the one day of the year. It's the one PLE of the year that it's the name is predicated on it. That's my gripe. That's all I'm saying. That's my gripe. You're right about ECW. You had the great technical matches, then you had the other gimmick matches that comprised ECW. But again, like the explicit intent of that programming, of that brand for all those years, was that there was an extreme element to it. So you were going to be seeing things every week, and you did. And that's what we loved about ECW. But if the one day of the year you're going to have a PLE call Extreme Rules, I'll never forget. I think it was like maybe 2 years ago. Or 3 years ago, it was like eight matches, and one match the whole night was Extreme Rules. Everything else was just like, okay, it's so-and-so fighting so-and-so. I mean, I remember calling you and bitching about, I'm like, what is this? This is ridiculous. Like, give me a break. It's the one day of the year. It's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah, but again, that's not the way they choose to use it. You know, you want to watch something like that, go watch a death match. I don't know what to tell you, but I think that's just how they're going to book it, and that's it. That's kind of what it is. And to me, I understand the sense behind it. More importantly, you also don't want to put your talent at risk for getting hurt because not everybody's familiar with working that kind of style. You know, very simple things can happen, as we see in AEW quite often, where guys get hurt when they're in matches that they shouldn't be in. So, I mean, you know, I kind of look at it from that lens as well, from the perspective of a worker, you know, who might not be familiar with how to do certain things. And yeah, they can prepare you for it, but the experience is really the thing you need the most, you know, and the repetitions of doing it. So, you know, I think how they're using it, I think it's a smart choice. And I think they already announced one, right? They announced one last night. It was Liv and who else?
Liv
and Ronda, right? What's the gimmick in that?
She's defending the title against Ronda in an Extreme Rules match. So for all intents and purposes, it'll be weapons, probably some bumps, hopefully not nasty bumps. I mean, you don't want to see anyone get hurt per se. But that's the one match that's announced for the card. Again, I'm not saying I need to see a scaffold match. No one's saying I need to see a street fight out in the middle of Market Street in downtown Philadelphia. I'm not saying that, but just give me something. And again, that was one of the things about, you know, TLC for a lot of years that used to bother me. If you're going to have a paper, well, at the time a pay-per-view and now a PLE, if you're going to have it called TLC, I mean,
but again, Fern, I mean, so look, you're criticizing AEW for doing it on one hand, right? For saying, oh, well, why is Bryan Danielson in Anarchy in the Arena match and all this other stuff? But yeah, you know, right. You want other talent to be put at risk too. I mean, come on. You got to take it into consideration that you want to protect talent, man, and you just want to use it really to enhance certain storytelling. That's all.
No, listen, you're absolutely right. I don't disagree. I'm just, you know, just maybe that's just the OCD.
You're just a mark with a gripe. I know.
Listen,
you're a mark with a gripe. I can.
Listen, I'm a mark who's an academic who's overly analytical. Okay, what can I tell you, man? You know, that's just you know who I am here, but. It'll be very interesting, though, Rivera, as we're closing out here, you know, what WWE program is going to continue to look like, again, under this leadership of Triple H. And, you know, again, big shows coming up. You got Extreme Rules in Philadelphia next month. You have two shows in November. The Crown Jewel show is certainly going to have, without a doubt, I mean, so many different pairs of eyes from different walks of life. I think that's going to be compelling. You know, again, it's kind of suspending disbelief, right, Rivera, where well, could Logan Paul really win the title? I don't know. We all know, at least from what we're reading, that Roman Reigns is going to keep the titles until WrestleMania, which the plan is still to have him fight his cousin. We'll see what happens with that, how that sort of, you know, materializes in the coming months. But certainly what happens at Survivor Series is going to be interesting. I'll be very honest with you, man.
I don't think he's going to be at Survivor Series.
No, I don't think he is. No, he will not. And here's another Mark thing about me today. I'm kind of on a roll today. I'm kind of venting here. But I'd like to go back to the traditional Survivor Series format. Let's have teams of five strive to survive, or teams of four. Let's have names again, bro. Let's have the catchy names, from Rowdy's Rowdies to Rude's Brood to the Hulkamaniacs against the Natural Disaster. Let's have names again. Let's just have, team, you know, Orton and Team Kofi. Bro, I'm done with that. Let's go back to, you know, kind of what Survivor Series was, man. All right, rant over. Second Mark rant of the week over here. So
here's what you can do. No. No, I think you're onto something here. Okay, this is what you can do. You can take your money and you can start up your own wrestling promotion, and you can book all these kind of matches and see who shows up.
Come on, man.
You can build a time machine and go back to the 80s. But it's dated.
You know what I'm getting at.
It's dated. It's done. It's over. It's over.
But don't call it Survivor Series.
You know what I mean?
Don't call it Survivor Series. Call it something else then.
But that's the name of the show. But like, who said they have to stick to all these rules? I mean, things change over time, right? You know, NFL, like, these guys aren't wearing leather helmets anymore, are they? You know what I mean?
Of course not.
Like, come on.
No, of course. Rivera, you're right. But what was arguably for years, if not decades, the compelling element of that pay-per-view, now a PLE? What was the compelling part of it? Forget about the brand split when it was like Raw versus SmackDown.
It was teams against. That's all it was. It was just teams against each other.
That's really
okay,
all.
But it was probably the most compelling part of, right? It was like that compelling pay-per-view of the year. All the teams against each other, the names. I don't know, man. There's just, you know, again, maybe Paul will want to scratch our bellies for the marks. I don't know. Maybe he won't. Maybe he will. Who knows? But it would not be the end of the world. I think to your point about, well, listen, you don't want to engage in overkill. Like you mentioned about Extreme Rules and the premise of it, you're right. The one day out of the year, would it really kill anybody? Would you be upset if it's, you know, the Brutes and somebody and you call it, I don't know, the UK connection against another team? It's not the end of the world, man. A little nostalgia is not going to hurt anybody. And again, to your point about merch and marketing, what, you can't sell shirts? You can't sell merch about traditional Survivor Series team names? You can't sell those shirts at the arena?
Dude.
People aren't going to buy them?
Dude,
wow, man.
They can. They can, and they do. They can and they do. They can and they do. They sell all the traditional Survivor Series logo shirts. You can buy those, and you can get those there, but you can also watch the Survivor Series in 2022. And that's what people are paying to see. If they want to watch nostalgia, they can go on Peacock. That's it. That's it. Very simple. Very simple. This is just another Mark gripe. It's not going to draw more money either way. It's just really not. It's not going to draw more money either way. And, like, not for nothing, we're on this show, and, yeah, it's fantastic. It's great. It's compelling, you know? We got some questions real quick. Oh, shit. I forgot to hit the questions. But,
Let's get to that.
I think it was just one question. But we got to trust in the fact that Triple H knows what the hell he's doing. I mean, he's a really smart guy. He's been doing this a lot longer than me.
Rivera, no question. Believe me, you're not going to hear a grab. Again, I just gave the guy a grade of an A+ in 6 weeks, you know, at the helm. So believe me, I'm not going to turn on Triple H because I've been very happy with what he's done for years with NXT. And clearly his brain for the business is top notch. So I'm going to keep, you know, but again, Triple H, if you're listening to this, Nick Khan, just bring us back to the old Survivor Series. Just give us teams of four all night, you know. You know, give us, or maybe teams of five, you know, and name them. Again, dude, the Dream Team against the Million Dollar Team. Oh, the Alliance against the Mercenaries. Oh, my God. Like, that was great. You look forward to that, to those names. You know, so Paul,
it's so
please.
Awesome.
Just
oh, my God. Dude, go on Peacock and watch it. Isn't that great?
I can't. I mean, with the 87 ads to watch, it'll take me 7 hours to watch a 2-hour Survivor Series.
You're complaining about something you could just take a little less money off whatever it is you're investing and just put that towards you know, paying. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm getting to the point where I might pay the $5.
You know, I might even just pay the $5.
Well, give me
I'll pay whatever the difference is. Just so I don't have to hear
you
fucking complain about it anymore.
You know what? Give me your login then, okay, brother? You want to be generous? Give me your login, okay?
Yeah. You know what? Sharing, actually, no, let's talk about this off the air. I don't share my passwords for anything that I use. I'd like to put that on record right now. Okay? So we have a question here.
Sure.
And, we got a question from D. Rotten, our very own D. Rotten. Shout out to D. Thank you so much for everything that you do for this show and everybody on Famcast Media. We appreciate you. Yeah. I don't know why, but I had to do that. My buddy Jay listening will know what that's about. But so his question is, do you think CM Punk will end up in WWE or NXT? I don't know. I don't think he's ever going to end up in either one of those two, especially not WWE. You never say never. I mean, it could happen, but, I mean, I highly doubt it.
I think, listen, and certainly this is a good topic, I think, to talk about for next week, but I would just say that CM Punk's currency in the wrestling business has really eroded since what happened at All Out. And we're hearing reports about whether or not he's difficult to work with backstage, whether or not it's a work or not. I just feel that currently, Paul Levesque does not need this guy. And it's not, listen, I'm not feeding into the marks, oh, Paul never liked CM Punk, that promo in 2011 was a shoot, that's how he really felt about it. No. Paul understands, just like Vince did, what's good for business, they'll put personal feelings aside because you want to make money. And I think that in some cases, obviously we learned right over the years, Vince did that with Hulk Hogan. He did that with Jim Hellwig, a.k.a. The Ultimate Warrior. He did it with Roddy Piper. He brought people back that maybe he had a personal gripe with, but he put it aside because he knew he would draw money. Right now, Paul Levesque doesn't need Phil Brooks. He doesn't need him. There's a plethora of talent, bro, if they all stay healthy on all three brands, that, again, gives Paul Levesque a richness and a volume and a depth of talent that he can use and he can modify and he can promote and push. He doesn't need CM Punk. He really doesn't. CM Punk is going to need him. I don't know what his financial situation is. I don't know how good him and his wife, AJ, are at saving their money. But CM Punk's going to be off TV for many, many months. I know that AEW audience, it might take a dip with the rating. But fans like you and I, we don't care. We're not going to miss him. We're certainly not going to miss the poor wrestling we've seen from him. And I think that, listen, I think his currency has eroded significantly. I think that his legacy is severely tarnished. It's going to be hard for him to recover from this. And I'm not being hyperbolic here. It's going to be hard for him to recover from this. I think there's a stain on his legacy that's going to be really, really hard to wipe out. I mean, it's almost like that stain you get on a piece of clothing. You can get tied all you want or whatever. It's almost like you got to bleach it out just to get the stain out. That's how I think how damaging this run has been for Brooks. And I think it's something I would argue he's never going to recover from. I think this is a permanent stain on him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's going to run this AEW thing out as long as he can, and he should. But to me, it's kind of done, man. The whole thing's kind of done for him. You know, any potential interest that maybe, you know, WWE might have had in him, I think would have depended on what he would have done with AEW and his subsequent time with them. But seeing this and seeing what they're doing and whether it's a work or not, it just seems like it's a lot more for them to deal with without really the results to match. So I don't know, man. I feel for the guy to some strange way, but you know, but it's not good. It's just not good.
No,
I'm
with you. I'm with you. And a shout out to Dean Rotten because I cannot say enough. And God bless him because of the work he puts into this show, the effort he puts in
yeah,
to
yeah.
make this show more compelling with audio. with promotions. I mean, we would not be where we're at right now, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of this show getting more traffic, getting more eyes on us, getting more follows on Twitter, getting more follows on Instagram and likes on Facebook, if it wasn't for D-Rotten. So on behalf of all of us that are super religious, God bless D-Rotten always, because he is someone that you can't quantify in dollars and cents and in time and minutes and hours what D-Rotten does for the show. This show would not be a success without D-Rotten. So, hey, I want to give a shout-out to him because he deserves every kudos we give him on this show. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Folks, on this day in wrestling history, some important things here. On this day in September the 17th, 1981, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair defeated the American Dream Dusty Rhodes in Kansas City to win his first of, well, I don't think it's 16, I think it's more, NWA World Heavyweight titles. So the greatness of Ric Flair really in winning the first world title, beating Dusty Rhodes in Kansas City, happened on this day in 1981. Also on this day in 1986 at a WWF Wrestling Challenge taping, we got to see the formation of arguably one of the most iconic wrestling commentary teams of all time, Rivera. Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon started full-time together on Wrestling Challenge. I think we all know what that team has meant to pro wrestling for commentary. I mean, the lines have been amazing. An historic pairing for sure when it comes to commentary. And to some extent, the blueprint for what commentary teams should be for the foreseeable future. We saw, you know, different variations from Gorilla Monsoon to Jesse Ventura, Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura on Saturday Night's Main Event. But Gorilla and Bobby, God rest their souls, were amazing. Also on this day in September 17, 1995, Asheville, North Carolina played host to the first fall brawl that was headlined by the War Games match, the classic WCW gimmick match. First time that, again, War Games was a permanent part of Fall Brawl. That became a habit and a tradition every year for WCW. Also moving into 2006 on this day in wrestling history, WWE Unforgiven took place in Toronto, and it was the main event that saw John Cena defeat Edge to win the hometown hero, Edge, to win the WWE Championship in the first ever one-on-one TLC match on a pay-per-view. And it was also the only event still to this day that has featured a TLC match and a Hell in a Cell match in the same card. And that night, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, D-Generation X, defeated Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, and The Big Show in a handicap match. And I just got to tell you, and unfortunately, on this day, September 17th in 2017, legendary former wrestler, manager, and iconic commentator Bobby the Brain Heenan passed away on this day 5 years ago, a great wrestling mind who left us way too early. So those are the important dates, folks, on this day in wrestling history. Your thoughts, Rivera?
Pretty cool, man. You're doing your fucking homework here, huh? I'm kind of impressed. Not bad, pal. Huh? Good shit. No, but, you know, a lot of good stuff in there. You know, War Games, all that other stuff. Bobby the Brain. What a bad hombre. What a bad hombre, bro. Like, he just added so much to wrestling, you know, was just a really, really, really special talent. And somebody that's definitely missed to this day for sure.
I mean, a lot of the great lines. I mean, listen, how many times have we had conversations off the air? And you'll say something, and I'll be like, listen, Rivera, siga jodiendo. I'll make a phone call. I'll have you parking cars here, okay? It's that simple. I mean, that's an iconic line from Bobby Heenan from 1991 that he was, I tell you, a plethora of great lines from Bobby Heenan. And the reason that I take such pride, Rivera, in being a broadcast journalist is because of Bobby the Brain Heenan. I just hope I'm making Bobby the Brain proud because he was such an inspiration for us fans that, you know, comedy has always been a part of pro wrestling, and there's an element to it in the ring, but the idea of play-by-play and color commentary, bro, I got to say that Bobby the Brain Heenan, I think, was the genesis of that, and I think he's really, like, the iconic revolution. That's why it started. I think it's – I mean, Jesse Ventura was part of it, too, but nobody was Bobby the Brain Heenan, Rivera.
Nah, nobody was Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan was special, and he made so many different things important. You know, he just, his voice, he, you know, for me, he would always legitimize everything, you know, every time he talked about it, world title, championship matches. I mean, I took fucking wrestling way more seriously when I was younger because of him and everything that he did. And he just made everything so important, man. So, you know, he was a huge, 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 huge loss to the business, but his influence and his legacy will certainly live forever.
Absolutely, absolutely. Folks, we're about to close out here for the week. PBR, anything to look forward to coming up?
Yeah, September 24th. You want to come and scratch my belly? I'm going to be hanging out at Cray 43, playing with the child actors. Going to be playing with Chip the Plug, and I don't know, we got an open spot for a band. If anybody listens to this show, come on down, come play with us. We got an open spot, or I don't know, we might fill it in by tomorrow, who knows, but check out the child actors. You can take a look at our Instagram there, and the link's in the bio there for the ticket tailor. If you buy your ticket ahead of time, you get a free child actors gimmick, you also get a $10 ticket inside, and probably won't have to pay the $15 that you'd have to pay at the door if you showed up the day of. But, yeah, just take it easy. Going to finish watching the rest of this footy game. New York City's up 2-0 at halftime. I hope this doesn't come back to haunt me and they see out the game. But just, you know, looking forward to enjoying the rest of the day, Profe. And I hope you do, too.
Oh, absolutely. And, folks, again, coming up on Monday nights, at 6 o'clock Eastern time on Real Talk via Jerseyverse TV. Hope you catch them. Great episodes. This Monday Night Live, we have Paul DeGroote, candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in the 11th Congressional District up in, like, Bergen County, Morris County area. Good talk about the midterm election coming up in less than 2 months, the current political climate, certainly what the Republican Party is doing right and doing wrong currently, and a little bit more, too. I also have my Worst Journalist of the Week award that I'll bestow in New Jersey media. So you definitely want to tune in, folks, this Monday night and every Monday night, really, for, I would argue, the best commentary analysis about what's going on in New Jersey politics. It's always with Real Talk, folks, via Jersey First TV. Always remember, ladies and gentlemen, write to the show, workinthemarks@gmail.com. Again, we appreciate D. Rotten for monitoring the inbox and also monitoring our social media. You can't go wrong him. Make sure you follow him on Instagram, @DRotten. I won't mention his government name out of respect to him. But write to the show, folks, @gmail.com. Certainly make sure you follow us on Instagram @working_the_marks. Check out our own Instagrams personally for the PBR Superstar. Make sure you check them out @PaddyRican, PaddyRican. And, of course, you can check out my own Instagram @TheFernandoZone. Again, when I'm not being shadow banned or censored, you know, the reason you don't see my post at the top of your newsfeed is a reason, folks. I mean, it's all documented. So when you don't see my stories and everything else in the newsfeed towards the bottom, there's a reason for that. Obviously, Instagram censoring people. But also check us out on Twitter @working_marks. Make sure you also check out PBR Superstar @PatrickSKVM. And also check out my Twitter as well, @TheFernandoZone. A lot of new followers for both of us, for the show. We appreciate that. Make sure you also like Working the Marks on Facebook. Rivera, I got to ask, man, are you ever getting back on Facebook? I keep getting that question all the time. It's like, Fernando's on Facebook raising hell and causing trouble. Is PBR going to be back on Facebook?
You know what? It took a lot of time to think about it. And I've been chewing the fat. Something that... it's something that I get asked quite a lot, honestly, you know, and I remember being on Facebook. I remember how much fun it was. I remember all the things I liked about Facebook. And then I remember all the things I disliked about Facebook. And when I think of all the things that I dislike on Facebook and I imagine it all hopped up on steroids, you know, assuming the controls and taking the plane for a nosedive, I'm never going back on Facebook ever again. So
wow. Okay. Breaking news there. He's planted his flag in the ground and he's sticking with it, folks. So again, in the meantime, make sure you check out Working the Marks on Facebook. Make sure you follow me on Facebook as well. You can't miss me. It's the new headshot from Jersey First TV on there. So, folks, we again, without you, our loyal listening audience, this show would not be possible. Also, without D. Rotten and all his commitment to our social media enhancement and our technical advancements, again, God bless D. Rotten for all that. And always remember, folks, he is New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, the PBR superstar, and I am New Jersey's premier and now seven-time award-winning journalist, Fernando Uribe. Folks, if we're on Blog Talk Radio, you know we are always working the marks. We'll see you next week here, folks. God bless y'all. Please party responsibly. And always remember, let's keep on talking.
Professor Fernando Uribe, New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, the PBR superstar Patrick Rivera.